This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook download from Audible.com, on behalf of Film Sack, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, it's time to play Future Sport. Mars needs women. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Special consideration for this week's episode goes out to Brett. This episode is for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 60, and this is the weekend of January 14th, 2011. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another great episode of Film Sack. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today on this show that mines the depths of film entertainment for all mankind, that's you, people. Brian Obake Fix Dunaway.
This whole face tattoo thing, that doesn't send the wrong message, does it? I mean, I'm going for bad guy here. Hair gel, please, thanks. it's the whole face tattoo. You don't think anybody think I'm a bad guy. Whatever. No loitering in the future. No loitering.
Yeah, none. Also joining us, Randy the Pharaoh Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. I'm not making any fictitious claims related to the TV show we watched this week. I don't even want my pretend life to be associated with this.
Wow. Ouch. TV. We'll talk about that in a minute. Brian, yours Dunaway. I mean, Ibbot. Sorry.
The middle name. Tattoo thing.
Oh. I switched it at the last minute because I wanted to do it last. But it's Brian... yours Ibbot.
Actually, you know, the other way was fine. Pretty much from now on, I think I'd like to be referred to as executive producer and very special guest star.
Nice.
He was very special.
Yes, he was.
Wasn't that weird, though, that weird advertisement that was on the blimps all the time?
Yeah.
What the hell were they advertising? What was it?
Yours.
Perfume.
Oh, it was perfume?
Yeah, they talked about it later on.
It was your brand perfume.
Yours. Right. Right. Yours.
That was terrible.
Reminded me of the Blade Runner. Yours. Billboards.
Oh, Blade Runner. You're
all
on our list.
All future ads are annoying. You ever notice that?
That stuff actually, that reminded me of The Running Man.
Running Man,
So much worse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a little better tech, but much worse in terms of the kinds of advertising. And it also reminded me of, what's that, the thing Brian Dunaway
Minority Report?
Minority Report. All that kind of stuff. Sure. I actually thought some of that was kind of cool, but what movie are we talking about? Or TV made for? I don't know what the hell that it even is. We're talking about Future Sport. For long-time listeners of my podcast, this may mean something extra special to you. Let's listen to Scott Fletcher explain.
Future Sport. In 2025, big business has turned the one-time inner-city game Future Sport, a mix of handball, ice hockey, and rollerblading, into a money-making machine. When Hawaii tries to secede from the Union, the stage is set for a Future Sport Battle Royale. The only way to decide the state's fate is via a matchup between the clean-cut pros, led by Dean Kane, and the Hawaiian Street Players. Wesley Snipes and Vanessa L. Williams co-star.
Yes. Vanessa L. Williams. You got to make a good distinction there. So yeah. This is the big...
right. This is the one that was naked in Penthouse.
Yeah,
that's right.
The former Miss USA Vanessa Williams,
the one that was disgraced, lost all that. She eventually showed up in like Schwarzenegger movies, like Eraser and other.
So the way you distinguish her from Vanessa A. Williams is remember L for labia.
Very good.
Got it.
I'm excited about this, man. We've talked about this for so long on so many different podcasts. Future Sport, Dean Cain.
Dean Cain. Yeah,
I'm stoked.
Kinda. I felt like the end of days. Like if I watch this,
this
is
over. It.
This is a sign. Like all those fish dying and showing up on shore, and all those crabs and the birds and the crickets and everything. I'm thinking next step, Dean Cain movie, and I'm dead. But no, I made it through. Dean Cain playing Tremaine Trey Ramsey in this festering pile of Okay, first back to the TV versus movie thing. I thought this was a theatrical film. I had no idea there were like weird commercial pauses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What the
They really take you out of the film too.
So who was this for? Because it had
they weren't even weird. They were just, you know,
they were normal
commercial pauses.
Yeah, they were old. They were like they're weird in the sense that they're kind of an old way of doing commercials. Like they don't feel like that anymore, but kind of a
all right, and cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The music it reminds me of Next Generation Star Wars cuts, which is not our connection to Star Wars or Trek. What did I say? Star Wars? Trek. This is not our connection to Trek, but it reminds me of TNG when they would cut to commercial where the music would kind of build and you'd fade out and you'd come back and...
Or the camera would linger on the face of the person who just said something important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Quite often Dean Cain. But then again, it had boobies and F-bombs.
Yes. What was that all about? I couldn't understand that. I was like,
what network was this on?
Exactly. USA?
Well, no, I mean, USA is even too tame for this. I thought maybe Showtime or some kind of made. You know, this is back when Showtime didn't have the wherewithal to do cool things like Dexter and stuff. So these were, you know, this could have been some weird Skinemax movie. I couldn't, but here's the problem. No trivia about this movie anywhere.
No.
That's the thing. It's not just no trivia. It's like this movie was so bad, no one ever cared to document what the purpose of it, like who made it, why'd they make it, what did they make it for, who paid for it. It's like completely, it's this undocumented worker of a TV movie.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Ernest R. Dickerson is the director, and he directed an episode of Walking Dead here recently.
Mm-hmm. A
whole bunch of Dexter, whole bunch of Stargate Universe. That's the next.
You know that's
spin-off.
Next, right? That's totally next.
I hope
Stargate
so.
Stargate University.
I hope the principal or the dean is Ra, the god Ra. That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Burn Notice. He did Law and Order, Weeds, The Wire. I could go on. It is a litany of TV shows in the last
TV
15
exactly
years.
100% TV. Can you find a feature film in this thing?
Right before this, he did something that was. Okay, feature film in title only, because I think it was probably no one would distribute it, and it ended up, you know, straight to VHS or something.
So he really only knows how to write shows that go to commercial.
Yeah, I know it.
We're gonna reveal this big thing, and then we're gonna pause, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna be in the same room with the same person talking.
Isn't it interesting that he directed a good number of episodes of one of the most revered television shows in the last 20 years, The Wire, which appeared on HBO. And it's really good work. Like I've seen some of those episodes and the guy's really good. What the hell's going on?
Who agrees with me when I say this is not bad TV?
This is not bad TV. I think this is actually a pretty solid showing.
But okay. Mm. Is it okay? Let's
it's
go back.
Solid.
1998.
Don't even argue.
The year is 98. That's when this was made.
Yeah.
Was it good TV in 98?
It was fantastic TV for 98.
Maybe.
I'm still not sold.
I'm not either. I don't know about that. Like,
I'm trying to think of what else I was watching in 98. I mean, you had what, Seinfeld and Friends?
Yeah.
Or no, Seinfeld had ended by then, didn't it?
98. No, that was the year they ended. Yeah, 98.
Okay, so they were still going
on.
What was I watching drama-wise? ER?
Yeah, ER was good then.
ER was good. Not sci-fi. I mean, you couldn't really...
That's what I'm saying. This was right on the cusp of when we're really going to hit big sci-fi.
Yeah, kind of.
It's right before it.
Okay, but okay.
Tell me the production quality was not good.
The production quality was
that.
Okay at moments, but other times it was ridiculously bad. And what I'm getting at is the movie had pieces to like the concept, the kind of Running Man concept, their own version of it. I totally dig on. I think it could be redone now and kind of be awesome. I think you could make that work. I don't think you'd never, ever name a sport future sport, cancel the NBA, and have everyone play it.
I love that idea, future sport. No foresight whatsoever.
Right. Can we talk right now about how bad the sport was?
Yes!
No, we cannot.
I want to talk about how small the holes were, because that's impossible to hit every time.
And nobody ever missed,
no, it's
right?
Not. It's not impossible as long as you have goalies that don't actually do anything.
Did they have goalies? I didn't notice.
They had goalies. And they only showed them like one time at the very beginning. And you see it like on all these angle shots. Yeah. You can
and
always
at,
see
and at the very end, there was a shot at the very end that was intercepted by a keeper of some sort.
With most a pole. Useless. Right. The goalie had a pole.
Right. Yeah. But it was.
He's made one. Hell, I'm not doing anything anyway.
It was like 6 months. It was like a poor man's Quidditch, kind of in a weird way.
Yeah.
And some people had hoverboards, other people had rollerblades. I didn't know if that was a choice.
That's the thing that I couldn't stop thinking about, and I have been thinking about since I saw the movie. I've been trying to think of a popular sport, a popular team sport, where players on the same team use radically different equipment.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean like the difference between a catcher's mitt and a first baseman's glove, but like if one was using a glove and the other one was using a highlight stick. Because that's what this sport is predicated on.
I don't care what you say. All I got to say is it's the sport of the future, and automatically you're wrong. So
see this now that harkens back to CMLR smack right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying if this was a sport where some people on the team were allowed to wear rollerblades, they'd all wear rollerblades. No one would use skateboards ever. Ever.
Totally valid point. It is odd.
Yeah. Weird. And then some people had like fake claws on their arms, and some of them had like robot arms.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Can we just
don't
talk
forget,
about the robot?
This is only like, what, like 4 years away in this timeline before you start doing seeing future sport?
But this was a year away. I want to remind people, this came out a year before The Matrix did. And nobody looks at The Matrix and goes, oh, what a pile of schlocky crap that turned out to be. It still holds up like major good. So this feels like it was wrong.
The Matrix
decade.
Cost like tens of millions of dollars more than this one did.
Oh, true.
And had Keanu Reeves.
The thing that I love about the sport is that it's got this sort of nod to Ultimate Frisbee. Which is if you hold the ball for more than a few seconds, the ball shocks you.
Yeah.
I can't think of another sport than Ultimate Frisbee. I'm sure there's another where
does Frisbee. I didn't know Ultimate Frisbee had a rule where, and not that it literally shocked you, but it has a rule for time.
Well, you no, you can't.
Oh.
When you catch the disc, you have to stop.
Oh, okay.
So you can run all over the field. You catch the disc, you have to stop, throw it to someone else.
Okay.
And that's kind of what they were going for here is this idea that you can't have the ball for very long.
Which is great because there's no refs, and if you didn't...
Yeah, right, no. But then the way they did it was they made the ball shock you, right?
Yeah.
And they made the shock lightning. Apparently not so bad that you had to immediately let go.
Right.
That's right.
Right, it was something you could really hold on to for a while.
You could ride the lightning, as he was often...
Ride the lightning!
Oh, who? The holographic freaking idiot announcer guy? Is that who you mean?
Tell me that was not... I so want to find out how innovative that was, because I don't remember watching in 98 seeing that in my sports shows, but that is so true today, how they did all those little animations. It's a lot cheesier than it is today, but it harkens to a lot of the NFL stuff they do now. I mean,
some of it, yeah, where they'd place stuff over the top of things, like the scoreboard being on the cement over there. Honestly, I think in 98, these guys were going, wouldn't it be cool if cement would turn into a sign and show
that
stuff?
Would be awesome.
And now we look at it and we think, oh no, that's like being projected there. That's, you know, that's a hologram.
All TVs are going to go on the side and be more vertical.
That's right.
We're going with a vertical choice.
Yeah. Totally. I really like the announcer. In fact, you know what? I play this at the top of the show, but let's just hear this guy one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, it's time to play Future Sport.
Okay. So my question, my question on that is, English and French.
Those only two are the languages in the world now.
Languages of the future.
No, languages of the NHL, actually. That's just...
Oh!
That's just borrowed from the NHL, right?
Okay,
there.
So let's say they did. Does that mean... Did hockey suffer the same fate as the NBA, as they indicated? Which were the... By the way, his NBA team was like the Rapers or something like that.
It sounded like that. I think they said Rapiers.
Maybe
like,
it's Rapier. Yeah. And I was looking at his shirt... Or his jersey as he walked out, and I'm looking at it real close, going, does that say Rapers? That's a terrible name for a team.
That's an awesome name for a team.
What's bad about Clippers?
Yeah, that's bad. Anyway,
who wants to go against the Rapers? I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'd quit.
Yeah, I'd quit.
You win.
The rest of the NBA quit, so I quit the NBA. So
I probably could name a bunch of current sports players that would fit right.
Yeah, they'd fit right on that team. Dean Cain could lead that thing up.
Ben Roethlisberger play.
So what do we think of Dean Cain's performance? I'm going to say Dean Cain was the best thing in the movie. I think he didn't phone it in. I think he acted in it pretty well with the material he had and was likable. And he's, you know, I mean, I'm not afraid to admit it. Dean Cain was a good-looking dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except he is a good-looking dude, as far as I know.
He got totally scalped on the sides. What was that all about?
That was MC Hammer time.
And for whatever reason, they kept putting him up against actors that were 3 feet taller than him. And Dean Cain is not short.
No.
He's like 5'10".
Yeah.
You know?
He's not like Tom Cruise short.
Sly Stallone short.
Sure.
But they kept putting him in the background instead of the foreground with these actors that are like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
And the first time they did that, I actually thought, why is Dean Cain seated? He looks like he's sitting down. Why is that? And I was trying to work it into the film. Well, maybe he's resting his legs for future sport or whatever. And I just realized, oh, he's just shorter.
It was weird. It was weird. I think they probably cast everybody else first and cast Dean Cain last because he doesn't look old either, because they kept referring to that too. Oh, he's been here for 10 years. He's an old guy. Mm-hmm. But he didn't seem old. So I think it was, I don't know if they cast that. Yeah,
he made the
last
film when
or
he was
what?
Like 32-ish.
Yeah.
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 He looked a lot younger than that.
He's an incredibly charming guy. Like I don't understand why. Okay, I looked at his current stuff he's working on in IMDb, and he's working, man. He's got plenty of projects, but they're things like Latin Quarter, Vacation, Dirty Little Trick, Home Run Showdown, At the Top of the Pyramid, Subject
Home
I
Run
Love
Showdown.
You, and recently he was in The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation, and nothing. recognizable. This is all stuff. I don't know what the hell these shows are. These movies.
This is all stuff that you can buy for $2 when you find a Blockbuster that's going out of business.
Yes, he was on CSI Miami back in 07. That's the closest to mainstream I've seen on here. So, what is Aussie and Ted's Great Adventure? I don't know what the hell's going on there, but that sounds like a big ripoff of Bill and Ted. So I don't know what he's doing with these shows, and he just seems like he had more potential than what he's doing now. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on with Dean Cain? I did not see a thing in that movie that made me go, oh, no wonder his career sucks. Instead, I went, you're above this, dude. What are you doing in there?
He really did okay against Vanessa. I mean, she's a pretty good actress. Mm-hmm. You got to admit.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
She's on par with good acting. So he did good with her.
I thought he was better than her in this. Even I think he outshined everybody.
I felt like she was her part was better written. So I guess I can give the edge to Dean Cain in acting because he had to me he had less to work with. But of course Vanessa Labia Williams is all eyes. You know, like the thing is get close on her eyes and have her her wear a lot of eye makeup and she looks stunning. And they did a lot of that, and so I was constantly thinking, wow, she's great. You know, I don't know if she was doing a good job.
It's the acting. It's beautiful.
Well, you think if her name was Vanessa Labia Williams, she would be more known for her labia size, but no.
She is, man. Apparently I'm telling you.
When I saw nudity was in this movie, I was hoping.
I was thrown off by it because up to that point, they had a lot of frickin' and friggin' and stuff. And I thought, oh, well, this is just this is just network stuff. And then boom, two like penthouse looking pets or something. Sitting in the hot tub with that guy that sounded a lot like the dude in Arrested Development. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He sounded just like
him. Exactly. I actually thought, is this a younger version of him?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Who plays
like,
Job? Help me here. The comedian guy that plays Job.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. He sounded just like Will Arnett.
Now that you say that, totally.
Which is it's a pretty peculiar voice. Will Arnett has a very special voice, and this guy
apparently not
nails it.
And I liked him too. I thought he was okay. I don't know who he is or what he's done since. I guess I could look it up, but you know,
we know we haven't even talked about yet who is probably the biggest star of this whole movie.
Why would that be executive producer and special guest star Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, man, it sure would be.
Every one recording right now can do a better Rastafarian reggae Jamaican accent than Wesley Snipes.
You can find anybody on the street to do a better.
It was my problem with him was more his little weirdness. Like, first of all, he showed up everywhere. Like, what are we doing? We're just walking around. There's Wesley Snipes in the hallway. There's Wesley Snipes at the game. There he is walking over there. That guy was everywhere all the time. He also had the most predictable part.
Not to just blatantly ruin the film, but he shows up in the end on a completely different team than he started out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he has to show up in everything.
Yeah, that was weird. He was using all of his tax money.
You know what we need more in here? More Snipes. right in the scene right here. More snipes, please.
Breaking out the Jamaican accent, doing his
Obate Fix. How awesome is that name, though?
Obate Fix. Is it Obate or Obake?
Obake. Sorry, I kept calling him Obate because I wanted to Obate butt wheat, but
if you
I couldn't help it.
If you read the credit, it says Wesley Snipes Obake Fix, but the way Obake is spelled, it looks like Obike, like O-B-I-K-E. Yeah. So when I saw that, I'm like, I'm going to say that wrong on the show. But then went up to me. So
every single person who tried to say the city Honolulu said it wrong in this movie. So you're only behind that.
Honolulu?
Hula hoo.
I've been saying it wrong my whole life then. Honolulu.
Yeah, me too.
Now, how do you say it?
I say Honolulu.
No, wait. Randy, you say it.
Honolulu.
Oh, who says that besides those people on the island?
Like, it's spelled H-O-N-O, and everybody says it like it's spelled H-A-N-A throughout the whole movie, especially people that are supposed to be, you know, from there.
I think you've got a little herbalism in your herbalism.
You know, Rondi has a point there. Oh,
yeah.
What happened to my microphone?
Uh-oh.
Rondi totally has a point there.
Someone's roboting.
That was neat.
Oh, was that you?
No, I think that was me.
Oh, you're good now.
I'm good now.
I like Robot Ibbit. By your command. Okay. What else? Other actors are of no note. There really isn't. There's Bill Smitrovich, who plays Coach Douglas in the most stereotypic role of his career. He's in lots of stuff, though.
And he takes up the butt.
Wait a minute. I missed this
scene.
That's
not how he died, though. That's what I was totally thinking that's how he died.
What?
What's his middle name, then?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Who does what with whose butt?
Okay, spoiler. He dies.
Yeah.
The coach.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on the freaking ball launcher. And he's sitting there. I'm totally thinking, oh, man, they're going to lift his head up and he's going to have a ball in his mouth and it's not going to be good. But it wasn't. It ended up being that weird
robot spider,
one-time spider thing that didn't show up anymore.
It's that idea they stole from Runaway.
Yeah, and they used it one time. It's like, what's this? The spider is in the opening scene, and they only use him one time to kill the coach. They couldn't figure out a better way to kill him than that?
No, they use the spider over and over. I actually said to Samantha, are you tired of seeing shots of this spider?
Well, I was tired of seeing the shots of the spiders because he kept watching people. But he never really did anything except kill the coach, and after that, he was gone.
Yeah, that was the end of this. Well, the spiders were just remote-controlled little camera things, right?
I mean, but apparently only had one of them.
Right.
He spent all of his money on face tattoos. Right now.
That's true. I'm still blown away that I've been saying Honolulu wrong my entire life.
Honolulu.
I've got to remember this.
You know which movie had really good little robot spiders? Who? Minority Report.
Yes, it did. Did they have a floater, though?
Well,
remember that?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. The whatchamacallums in the water. They were floaters.
Oh, that's good. They're floaters. That's true. Oh, you guys are funny.
We should watch that movie just so Brian Dunaway has to watch it again.
Oh, God, please don't.
Because he hates it so freaking bad. Anyway, I was looking at this Adrian Hughes guy. He played Blake Becker. He was a hunter in X-Men Wolverine. X-Men Origins Wolverine. He was in Stargate Continuum. I kind of remember seeing him in that, to be honest. He has a face that's very familiar to the Stargate folk. Oh, yeah. He played Lieutenant Baker in Stargate SG-1. And I think he turned and became a symbiote with this Peltrack Jaffa guy. Anyway.
The whole sentence did not sound right.
He's done some stuff, but not that much. He hasn't worked all that much. But I don't know. I don't know why I'm hung up on that guy, but I kind of liked him. I thought he was cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I told you there was really no trivia to this thing. But Steve.
I got some trivia.
Oh, go ahead. What do you got? Bring it out.
Well, I guess
whip
more
it
of a
out.
Quiz. How about I give you a quiz?
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't really say this for the clips. I was hoping you would have some of these clips.
I may. You want to save it or you want to
save it? Yeah, let's save it. Let's save it. Right. I'll take it back.
Don't let me forget.
Can I retract it?
You can retract.
Okay.
And then
strike that from the record.
You can retract. Just do not erect. Steve DeJarnett, writer of this film, is famous mostly for directing almost all the Lizzie McGuire movie or TV shows episodes.
Good move.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, good man. More on the other co-writer. Yes, Future Sport took two writers.
which was originally supposed to be called Future Skank, I think.
Nice.
Anyway, so let's get to the core of the film here. I'm still confused by the TV. Was it a TV movie? Was it a movie? And I think it was a TV movie. It had to be for those cuts. Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, I think my guess is that it was probably filmed with everything, you know, the boobies, the F-bombs, everything. And it was trimmed down for Sci-Fi Network, but it was basically filmed and shot with the intention that it was going to be a VHS and later DVD release. Okay. I guess the DVDs were around back then. So yeah, straight to DVD release.
Okay. One of these, one of the things this movie did that I hate in movies, in fact, you can call it one of these. Trope alert. It's the late title screen. So this thing gets like 10 minutes in before they finally go, future sport, credit time.
Really?
I love it. I love it. So based on what
like
Will
Randy's
was saying,
filming
was,
a Bud Light commercial over there.
What's that? What's that? He's trying to use it with a cough button. He needs a baby button.
That's funny. Sorry, well, someone was saying something. Was it you?
Oh, I forget. Yeah, but I can go with it. So
go
yeah,
with
so
it. Late title screen.
Title screen. Those things always freak me out. It's like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, we're gonna do this now. Okay,
yeah, it's
why don't
weird.
Just wait till the end.
I don't even mind it. I just found this
really.
One, I just found.
I don't
this
like
one
it because it makes
late.
Me feel like everything that come before it was throwaway.
Well, yeah, but what was really throwaway was the makeout sounds they were making in that bed with that bald blonde chick. Yes, Randy.
I thought opening. I thought those credits were horrible. It was an attempt to be kind of cool and nouveau, and it was just bad. It was like somebody
were
made it on their. You know, they made them on a 386. You know, just crappy credits.
Yes. Yeah.
What computers were we using back then? Pentium
98. Should have been using
Pentium
75. Pentium.
Pentium 90s. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Pentium stuff.
P100s are really expensive.
Yeah. And this
PC.
Is. Yeah. I will say I'm really glad as I look back in all the television over the last decade that has been filmed in Vancouver to find something before the year 2000, back into the 90s. That was filmed in Vancouver. I feel like this is the earliest example of that sort of revolution here, but I'm getting a little tired of it. You know, like when we went to watch Tron Legacy, the whole first act of the movie, just going, oh, Vancouver, 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 Vancouver. I'm a little tired. Vancouver's starting to be the every city and everything, I think.
Yeah.
Can I express a little bit of concern?
About Vancouver? Yes.
No. Randy's, you know, Will was crying, and now he's totally not crying. So I'm worried what Randy might have done. Randy, what have you done with your child?
Well, I wish I could say baby Benadryl or something like that. Actually, I just crammed the pacifier back in his mouth.
You're lucky. My kids never took pacifiers.
Nice.
Oh, they hated them. They just spit them out the minute you tried. So I just dealt with them all the time. Good thing podcasting didn't exist in 1998. All right. Quick note that this could be an award, but I really want to bring it up now. This movie featured the worst fake cybernetic hand in the history of cybernetic fake hands. I mean, Luke Skywalker was rolling in his damn grave.
Which is all he had was a black glove.
Worse than the fake hand that puts the bug on Neo.
Oh, right. Oh. Yeah, but I thought that, but see, you mean the one that that they have to poop out of his belly button eventually?
Yeah, there's a scene where this fake hand comes slowly in, dangling the bug.
All right.
It's horrific.
Lower the hand.
Oh, I need to watch. I don't recall that. I'm going to have to see that. Is it that bad? I don't remember it being that bad.
Horrific. It makes it's like the worst thing in the Matrix is that fake hand.
Well, the girl in this.
I got to look for that now.
The girl in this, the robot girl, she just basically had it was like painted on.
Yeah.
Like a prosthetic little, like the stuff you do to make scars on your face for Halloween. And they just made it try to look like a robot hand, and that was terrible. Also, quit trying to convince me that you have a team full of 94-pound supermodels who can play
contact sport.
Yeah, doesn't work.
With one eye.
No broken noses or...
Yeah, I have no... Look, I'm not a sexist. There's some women out there that could school me in every sport known to man. I'm saying these girls...
There's a reason that there's never been a woman who's qualified for a regular NBA team. They had to develop the WNBA.
Yes, exactly.
Hate mail to Randy at randydeluxe@gmail.com.
No, it's because any woman on the planet who goes up against Kobe Bryant or Shaquille O'Neal is going to get a broken arm or something.
Yeah, good point.
That, again, is randydeluxe@...
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. I mean, there's women's divisions in poker, Brian. Come
That's
on.
True.
Oh, I'm giving That's her true. Time. Anyway,
so,
yeah.
So can I just want to ask this question before I forget about it. The necklace Farrell wore, Ramsey wore around his neck, was made out of a bike chain.
Really?
I thought that was awesome. Yeah. I paused it to make sure. So cool.
painted gold.
Best thing in the game or in the movie.
The game
of future sport.
This is a documentary. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, it was a very close to reality documentary. Oh, and at first, by the way, at first I thought they were saying everything was 2005. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're making this in 98. You're going to make this only five, six years later. Give me a break. But no, 2025. So I pose the question, Ibit, do we see a future in 2025 where anything like this exists? Number one, the idea that there's a sport called future sport that's based on some stupid rollerblady thing. Or number two, that Hawaii is really having that much trouble that in 2025.
Needs to secede from the union. Yeah. Well, if they do come up with a sport, it's going to be something. It's going to be a derivative of soccer because everyone knows that, except here in the U.S., soccer is the world's most popular sport.
Yeah.
They're just basically going to add rollerblades and tiny hoverboards to soccer.
Tiny little goals, hoverblades, and an electron ball.
That's right. That pops out of the center of the field.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
And they're going to come up with a better name than future sport, like future soccer.
It'll be awesome.
Soccer sport. How about that?
Yeah. And we just barely touched on that dumb name, but future sport. I mean, Brian, you were pointing out how short-sighted it is. Anything that says blank of the future or future this, you know, give me my Dippin' Dots. Don't keep calling it ice cream of the future.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. During the movie, I thought of that soap, Lever 2000. I thought, boy, that's getting older and older every year, isn't it?
Exactly.
I forgot about that stuff. They still make that.
Yeah, oh, that's still called Lever 2000.
Yep.
I recall buying a lot of that in the 90s. I really did. I think I had to borrow that in the shower all the time.
It's the soap of the future.
Yeah. Future soap.
And it really dried your skin out.
Yeah, it was not a very good soap.
Welcome to Exfoliation Hour here on the Frog Pants Network. Okay. Let's do another trope. This trope. You know, oh, go ahead.
You were asking about 15 years from now or 14 years from now or whatever, and I just say, what's happened in the last 15 years that's been all that revolutionary? Nothing.
It's slowed down.
There's no new sports.
Right.
The Olympics is still the same thing, you know?
Occasionally, Randy, though, we try. So we have like that arena football thing that tried to sort of be the future football thing, and that didn't really work out. Although, I mean, arena football still being played, but what was that league?
But it was just football.
AFL or whatever?
AFL from the
American football.
Russia wrestling.
Yeah. And you're right. That's a tiny jump, but they tried to, you know, jazz it all up and be all hardcore. And it was basically it's like the NFL blitz of real life, basically, is what that game was.
And that's the problem is sports, you know, become more and more popular as they have. People get paid more and more. And as they get paid more and more, they want more protection. And so this is the opposite of that direction. I see people, you know, football has just gotten to the point is you can't even hit anybody anywhere hardly. It's almost becoming a non-contact sport.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of from 15 years ago to about 5 years after that was Robot Wars. And that's not a sport. That's not anything, really.
Right. But like American Gladiator, I think if you dug right deep down into their producers, you know, cold, dead hearts, they would say, oh, yeah, I would love this to be the sport of the future.
Yeah.
Like they would. And they, you know,
I'd like to see gladiators with no padding.
Randy's a big fan of UFC. Do you think I'm not saying it's some future sport, and I realize it's not based on, you know, it's based on really thousands year old martial arts and other stuff.
Right. Yeah. Pancration, like one of the seven original Olympic sports.
Right. So my point is its presentation now kind of new, its packaging kind of is, you know, has the feel of like, oh yeah, this is like this is new and it's hot and it's overtaking other stuff. Like boxing seems dumb now.
You can definitely say that the UFC. Nobody to somebody, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the closest thing I can think of. So, in essence, I agree with you. Stuff evolves slowly. You know, we don't see new sports every 5-10 years. What we see is like, it's like video games, not to keep overusing a comparison, but, you know, nobody's making huge revolutionary steps over previous generations of video cards or chips or processing or whatever, because you're seeing small incremental stuff because we've gotten to a point where it's kind of like, we're maxing out just a little bit. We'll never completely max out. And maybe some huge paradigm shift will change all that. But this leap over leap thing slows down after a while. So
right now at Notre Dame, there is a future sport team being contemplated.
Oh my God.
What?
Stop.
That's where he was from. That's where the one guy was from. Look here, college boy. I didn't go to college for no future sport.
That's right.
Notre Dame.
I learned in the rough streets or the, what was it called? Drop zone, down zone.
Drop down zone.
Is that where you got the idea for drop
zone?
Where
all the TVs are turned sideways and they're all playing some bad advertisement that you can't understand.
Was that
There's always smoke coming out of the manhole covers.
was that Vancouver, Randy? Was it recognizable as like a downtown part of Vancouver? I'm on
Good
mute.
Good question.
I'm on mute. I think we're on mute. I'll ask that question later.
But I can answer your question about Hawaii seceding from the union. I don't see Hawaii doing it, but if Palin doesn't get elected president in 2012, Alaska might branch off and do its own,
do its own be awesome. Country.
But the way they played that out was ridiculous. It makes no
Let's start that.
It makes That's no okay. sense whatsoever that a state, a little tiny state that chose to secede, would be on the mainland with fighters.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I think Hawaii is absolutely essential if you're thinking about attacking America. So I mean,
if you can
secure Hawaii, so I think to me it was like they were getting funded like a revolution, and it's like, okay, Hawaii is sick of the mainland taking advantage of them. So I kind of buy into this.
But the Hawaiians, it's not like the Hawaiians are suddenly going to rise up.
Anybody that lives in a certain area are going to proclaim, hey, I'm Hawaiian, and it's like, and so the rebels that have kind of moved into there and going, we kind of want to succeed and we kind of want to be, our own. You see, I'm from the South.
I can really
understand.
There's always like that's kind of based on this, like Texas, there's always, Texas is going to secede from the union.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Well, they think they should have guns in every 5 feet and we should, whatever their issues are or whatever.
More pineapples.
Right.
But if you're
Quit
talking
taking
about
our pineapples and poke.
if you're going to compare Texas to Hawaii, you got to say the tiny little region around Corpus Christi, Texas secedes from the union. Because I mean, Hawaii has one city and Honolulu is full of people who are surfing. They're surfing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not in that end. Texas, here's what would happen.
Well, they're not very good.
Those hardcores would rise up and they'd be like, kill everybody in Austin, you bunch of liberal pinkos.
They're not very good militants. I mean, they got their asses handed to them by a bunch of sports freaks.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, those guys are taking some kind of amplified reflex drugs of some sort.
Yep.
Amplified reflexes.
But is it more believable that, Hawaii would decide to secede from union than have the decision be made on a game? Yeah. So basically, winner of this game decides.
Well, I love that. That's so sci-fi. I mean, sci-fi always does that.
I desperately wanted to call that a trope, and I couldn't find some good
examples. It is a trope.
It is.
They did it in Star Trek.
But what are some give me a good example. What did they do in Star Trek?
They do that. There's a whole episode dedicated to, we don't like the messiness of war, so we're going to capsulize it by going, okay, we're going to just have people choose to do this. And this is very popular in sci-fi. It's like Logan's Run is kind of like that kind of thing. It's like we've chosen to be civilized about war, essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, and then there's problems with that. Like when you suppress human nature and all that. I get that, but I can't think of a good example where they specifically took a relatively modern-day idea of terrorists and seceding and civil war and then resolving that in one game of damn future sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's weird. That's effing weird. Like that was really hard for me
to
agree to.
I was like, this is sci-fi. To me, it was like, yeah, this is sci-fi. This is the kind of thing you see in sci-fi.
I think that Dickerson guy was sitting around going, you know what we need? We need
more swipes.
We need a montage. And I think to achieve that, we ought to have a game that decides world peace. Let's face it.
let's face it. Okay, which is cheaper to shoot? A sporting event or a war?
Well, yeah, but whose players are probably, or whose, commanders are going to be more easily buyable or corruptible behind the scenes? I mean, we've got our own players who get, Pete Rose talking to you, who get,
Well, that's only what buying into the, what does tick me off about this movie is the fact they had two one-eyed people on the same team. I like diversity in my sci-fi.
Wait.
Didn't you believe there was a point in the production where they were like, wait, we've got eye patches on two people. Let's make one of them cooler.
Who had the second eye patch? I know the girl did, but who's
the girl
one?
Did, and the guy with the bars over his eye.
Oh, that guy.
The play.
Oh, he was on a competing team, though.
That guy.
No, he was on the same team eventually.
Yeah, they were together for a while, right?
Yeah. They were on the POM or the COM team.
Which provided for another lovely trope about someone who has to play for the other side but really has loyalty to the side she started on.
Yeah. So none of our team has any depth perception.
She deserves this. She can have that for free. Oh, wait, speaking of tropes, real quick, the coach. So this coach fits into this neat little package that coaches always fit in when you're not writing a very good movie. Yeah. And that is, you're winning, and you're winning because you're being a jerk and hogging the ball, but and everyone loves you for winning, and you're really happy and high-fiving on the way out of there, but the coach is still pissed even though you won, because deep down it's all about the fundamentals to him, and he wants, you know, you can do better than that kind of mentality. I got really tired of that real quick, and I like this actor. I feel like this stuff is way beneath him, and they kept sticking him in these situations that were just like stereotypic coach move.
Yeah.
Trope. What?
What would you give him as a PI rating?
Oh, a PI rating.
Yeah.
Forgot about that stupid thing.
I like how at one point in the beginning, Dean King calls it a PI index.
Yeah, popularity index.
He says PI index, which is like ATM machine.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And then the rest of the time, they keep saying your PI rating. Why do you need to use the word rating? It's your PI, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just your PI. Oh, how's your PI doing?
I don't know. Somebody needs to rate my index. I give your index a 3.
Oh, man.
What's my PI rating?
Mine is Magnum. M for Magnum PI. That's where mine's at.
Bizarre. That little running thing throughout about who's popular and how they gauge it. But they never actually showed it to us.
Yeah, they never showed us how it worked. They never showed any real. It was just used for smack talk.
Which was brilliant sci-fi, because it did not pigeonhole itself into something.
You don't know what sci-fi is. What I mean is, I know what you're getting at. You don't have to explain everything. If you can do it in a way that is like, oh, okay, got it. Like, teleporters work on Star Trek because they work, and you don't have to explain it. But I don't think they did a very good job here, because what they're just throwing it out there. So it's like, PI index, PI whatever. That's how people. That's social how they currency. Get paid.
Yeah, they're sports figures. So, I mean, it's absolutely relevant to how sports is done. And it's oversimplification of the whole process.
Think that, you'd see in all the graphics for the future sport game on TV, you'd see, the listing of the players and their PI rating their PI.
I think it was, to me, it was more of it was the inside kind of thing. It's like, okay, we're all sports stars, and we kind of we're tracking people. This the internet's around now. Now we can keep a real good track of exactly all these stats and how things are going for you. And I feel like it's something more like that they would have on their own side, kind of like a Google ranking for your website or something. Yeah. To me, that's what it felt like. So I thought it was actually pretty smart.
What'd you guys think of the late 90s stop motion work on that spider?
That was actually, I enjoyed it.
It was all right. I just think it's an interesting time to still be going back to the stop motion well.
They would have totally screwed it, because if they had done like a true CGI, green screen kind of thing, I mean, it would have looked very gray and very removed.
You mean like the hoverboard when he did that loop around that dude?
Exactly.
Oh, man. That is so bad. This movie sucks.
It didn't suck. It was the technology at the time. It's what they had.
What? It's what we were there too. 98 wasn't this bad.
Effects. That was the special effects they had during that.
Think about it is, it sucks if you take all that away and it still sucks.
Yes!
And it does, I promise.
I'd love it.
But this movie sucks? Are you crazy?
I want Brian Dunaway to stay his position. But I'm going to say it right here. I believe all the slathering we did on Dean Cain for the last 5 years is accurate. I think he's great. He's misunderstood. He needs to do good work. Yeah. Yeah. So I am for Dean Cain pulling out of the direct-to-DVD garbage he's in now. Outside of that, though, this movie is shite. It's not good. It's nothing good about it.
Would you say it's doo-doo?
It's doo-doo. It's shite doo-doo.
How about da-da or ding-dong-diddly or any other freaking term that Wesley Snipes used for Pookie in the Jamaican?
You mean this right here?
Ding-dong-diddly.
Yeah, that one.
I'm just doo-doo.
I was going to play that later, but that presented a nice time to play it. I will say, so just real quick, my favorite secondary character was Mayhem. Because that guy was just pissed and getting hit out of the leg broken. And he was totally like Han Solo.
Irish.
He was Han Solo in this movie. Shows up at the last second. Let's blow this thing and get out of here, kid. Kind of.
Pretty
move,
much, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I thought he was cool. I liked him.
Mm-hmm. I dug it.
Did not like Anarchy, first of all, because her name is ridiculous. She grossed me out. I think she was a stupid character. Do not ever use her again for anything.
I'm so glad we didn't get through an episode of Film Sack without Scott calling a relatively attractive woman gross.
Oh, relative to what? Relative to donkey urine soaked.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Or ding dong diddlies.
She played an aggressive hooker in Watchmen.
I'd have no doubt.
I love that. Was she listed as that?
Yeah. That's what she's hooker. Listed as. Aggressive nice. Hooker.
I think that should be... That should be her new typecast. She'd be typecast as an aggressive hooker.
I want a t-shirt that says aggressive
she
hooker.
She didn't get paid as much. She didn't get paid as much as lethargic hooker. That took
more. Yeah. Passive hooker was totally not working for her.
She was not.
You want to do it? No.
I still want to argue whether she was cute in this. I don't think she was cute at all. I think she looked like a man.
I said relatively attractive, like across all women, above average.
Okay.
And Scott calls her gross. So just say, like, and it's just weird, like, because people like that, like every role Denise Crosby's ever played, she wasn't put forward as gross. She was put forward as normal or, you know, slightly above average or whatever.
She looks like the kind of girl that just got out of the airplane bathroom as I walked in and I had to deal with it. That the big poo in there. That's.
And I'm trying. We're gonna eventually get the thread of what it is that grosses out Scott. Like what he
it is.
What he is least attracted to in
hair.
A woman.
I don't know. Well, maybe
it's
the
women
hair.
Who look like his mom. Yeah.
We know that because Charlize Theron is hot to everyone but me, because she looks like pictures of my mom when she was young. It freaks me out. I don't know. Maybe one day we will get to the bottom of that, but I don't know if today's that day.
Yeah.
Anarchy.
Soon.
Gross. Hey guys, pardon my dust while I pop in here real quick and talk about audible.com. They're sponsoring this episode yet again of Film Sack. We really appreciate them for doing that. And I'm going to recommend a book today that I need to recommend for myself. I've been putting it off for too many years. It is about time that I finally sat down and listened to a reading of Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson. Now I know what you're saying, Scott. You should have read this a long time ago. I know. I will gladly admit that I'm behind the eight ball on this, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to get it at Audible. You can get it there too, along with tons of other books. And you can get this one for free if you sign up today. Here's how. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get Snow Crash or any Audible book for free. Do it today. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. One more trope. This trope is regarding the jerk girl with the blonde hair that was in the beginning and that came back way late, only when he's won this game.
Lorelai. Right.
Yeah. Wants you back because you're popular again. Honestly, if you could count how many times that's been used.
Always.
Right? Yeah. Really? And by the way, do you think she's gross?
Yeah, very gross. I thought she was gross. Her face is gross.
Okay. I think we're starting to get short hair, not for Scott.
No.
Not cut your hair short.
When I married Kim, she had short hair. I don't think that's it. I think it's... Short hair is not a problem. Like
Denise
I thought,
Crosby,
I think that what's hair. Her name? Who's the chick in Black Swan now? It's getting all the
Natalie. Portman.
Natalie Portman looked. I thought she was dead hot, bald in freaking
V for Vendetta.
So, yeah. So I don't think it's a. I honestly don't think it's a hair thing. If you get go back, look at that lady nice up and close. Blah.
See,
and
that,
it's not even just ugly. It's not even just ugly.
I'm now looking at the films we're going to watch over the next few weeks. where are the women that Scott's going to crap all over?
Let's predict which women are going to be. Right,
it's a personality thing mostly. It's mostly personality. And honestly, I feel like I'm overreaching past the performance of the character they're playing, and I'm trying to evaluate the kind of person this is that's in this movie. And I realize that's weird, and I can't do that accurately, but I think that's where part of that comes from.
That's valid. Yeah. I mean, yeah, personality is a major factor in how I find
I don't like
women
most.
Or not.
Yeah, I don't like most Hollywood women because they. I think
I don't
they're
like
all...
Jennifer Aniston. I'll say on record, I don't think she's attractive.
That's because she has
not
sour
like
milk
Jennifer
breath,
Aniston.
Dude. She has sour milk breath. You know it.
I think she had. You know what? I think she's cute.
She's cute. She's all right, but she
I don't
has
even
that
think
breath.
She's cute.
It's
I
the breath.
I see her and I'm like, what a, you know, no. Sorry, Jen. I know you were looking forward to. But no,
you'll see her
now. She's officially stopped listening to this podcast.
Yeah, she's done.
it wasn't all the sour milk comments before. It was. Yeah. Wait, that Brian Dunaway doesn't like me. That's it.
Like, I'm done.
Forget it.
I mean, I know you guys. Milk. I know that you're going to do Predator 2,
and then right before I stopped listening forever, they all did my voice badly. Does this smell bad to you? Does this smell like it's gone bad?
right, we'll stop ripping on her. That's it for tropes. Let's do.
Oh no! How about the big trope of the?
Oh, is there a big trope?
The non-team player. You know, the basically the team member, the hotshot of the team, doesn't play well with others, but in the very last scene, he figures out a way to be a team player, and it's somebody else who scores the big goal with his assist.
Yeah, you could give that a I'd be your wingman anytime award.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's totally what that was. So for you, Brian Ebbett.
Yes,
I'll give
you
one more of those. That's actually, I don't know why I missed that. That's great. All right, let's do some clips. These are clips from the film Future Sport, and we are going to start with the big news of what Hawaii is going to be like in about 15 years.
Meanwhile, there are new developments in the Free Hawaii movement. Eric Tsai, the leader of the Hawaiian Liberation Organization, has disappeared 3 days after storming out of negotiations with Hawaii Governor Makena. There is fear the militant organization may resort to terrorist acts to make a statement.
I wonder if they'll try something.
I want to play bass for the news.
I know it. I love that.
Every bit of music in this movie is produced on a little, you know, 41 key Casio keyboard. And that was actually the spot where I realized, ooh, I could totally do that right now on a $99 keyboard with with all the effects and junk. Yeah.
Fox News needs to change up to that for their news things. That was freaking awesome.
Especially when yours brand of freaking perfume comes out big next year. It's going to be huge.
And when they could have just gotten a guy like Rob Gerbers, he would have done it for free and it would have been 10 times better.
I agree.
Maybe not for free. Sorry, Rob. I know you need to get paid.
Yes.
Well, I know what you're thinking.
For cheap. Interview with an old girlfriend. This is one of my favorite things in the movie is that all the cameramen are basically cyborgs.
Yeah, I love it. They're so serious too. I mean, nobody's having a good time as a cameraman.
How would you like to do that, Ryan? How would you like to do that? Stand in front of one of those dudes with their one big eye looking at you.
Yeah.
Ugh. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. I loved it. It looks so pissed off.
Here's a scene of some of that going down.
Mr. Ramsey.
Mr. Ramsey? You know, Alex, I know you were ticked off when I dumped you, but I mean, we have not really reached the Mr. Ramsey point, have we?
Cut. Wait, two things. One, I don't want to be here any more than you do. Okay, if it was up to me, I'd still be in Hawaii covering the secession. And two, you didn't dump me, I dumped you, despite what your autobiography says.
So you read my book.
The terrorists have come to trope us into forgetting our problems.
So yes, we interrupt one trope with another.
Right? Why are they shooting the hell out of the ceiling?
What, to get your attention.
Because Hawaii wants to be free.
It was like, well, hey, calm down. The ceiling is just going to fall on you if you do that.
Also, whoever named the movie and the sport probably named the group that was seceding because it was called, you'd think, okay, Hawaiian Liberation Front, Hawaiian Liberation Unified something. Yeah. It was called Hawaiian Unified Organization.
Liberation Organization.
Liberation Organization, which basically could be a freaking charity or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they did that so they could call it Hilo.
Oh.
All right.
Which is cool.
It is pretty cool.
Only
actually.
On Star Trek. Star,
only thing I liked in the whole movie, right?
Battlestar
there.
Battlestar Galactica. That one bit.
Yeah. Could they have come up with something with poi?
Right?
Yeah.
The Polynesian Operation for
Organization. There you go. Very good.
Perfect. We're poi and we're staying until we get results. All right, show yourself now, yells the worst actress in the film.
This is a political action of the Hawaiian Liberation Organization. Alejandra Torres. Tremaine Ramsey.
Now, before I play the rest of this, there's more. Another reason I can't stand anarchy because of what she says coming up. So here it is. Just listen for it. Listen for the Spanish is all I'm going to say.
You've been found guilty of crimes against the Hawaiian people.
Aren't you the popular couple?
Come forward and face justice.
How many?
Ramsey! Show yourself!
Nueve.
Ugh!
Ramsey, show yourself now.
Nueve. You couldn't say that's seven, right?
Nine.
You couldn't say nine? It's less syllables. What is that? What freaking kick her in the face? We don't need Scotty in engineering in this movie. We don't need that person. Oh, that was so stupid.
Well, and she says, "Show yourself now." Oh. It takes them a full 60 seconds to put their plan into motion, And there's this whole time where they're all looking at each other and glancing and preparing and pulling out a stick and getting out of board. And it, I don't know if – did any of you see the recent – the third in the Family Guy trilogy of Star Wars remake?
Yes, it was great.
It's a trap. There's a scene where they take glancing and preparing to put your plan into action to lengths that are so long that it's not funny anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what this reminded me of.
Yeah.
It was no longer entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It went on. Yeah. That stuff went on way too long. But, you know, you have to do a lot of preparation when there are Nueve people over there.
How many?
Good
nine, thing you
Brian,
encoded it.
Nine is all I'm saying. That's both stop and the number. Or no, I guess.
No, actually.
Yeah, because it's no. All right. Anyway, moving on. If you don't know what the sport of the future is, let's let Vagina Lady explain. Wait, sorry. What's her name? Vanessa. Vanessa Labia. Right. That's it. Here it is.
Future sport. Two teams, five players each, and only one way to score. Put the ball in the goal. 1 point for a throw, three for a slam. Let's watch.
Okay.
Slam. So who determines if it's a throw or a slam?
Nobody, because there's no refs.
None.
Well, let's
Bill,
see.
That looked like a slam to me. No, I think it was more of a throw.
Since we have
announcers,
kind of a throw slam.
I'm surprised she didn't say there are 10 players on the court.
Cinco.
Cinco.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Total.
There are cinco per side. Except it's a cinco. There are cinco. Oh,
and there's only one way to score, to put the ball in the net. Wow, that's revolutionary.
Yeah, the only difference is it's a tiny little hole. It's a wee little hole that nobody would ever have go in like that.
Right, for those of you who haven't seen this.
Though. You haven't been listening to the sound effects? I mean, the whole time the thing is going.
Oh, is it sucking the whole time? Oh, my gosh. You all right, dude?
Wow.
You think it's
awesome.
A vacuum?
Really?
Totally.
Does it matter? Oh, because it's like the hole is the size of a grapefruit and the ball is the size of a grapefruit.
Yeah. It's like the size of the hole that Luke Skywalker has to fit a couple of photon torpedoes in.
Oh, sure, you'll buy that, star. But not this. All right, whatever.
To really get the point made, imagine if a soccer ball was as tall as a soccer goal.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically, and as wide as one as well.
But I mean, the whole thing's a big funnel. It's not like it's like a hole, man, with a funnel around it, man.
I thought that sucking sound was the movie. I didn't know it was the it was the freaking goal. All right, moving on to Don't You Mean Fondle Him? This is just a crack made in the gym, and it made me laugh. So here it is.
Jet's gonna handle Blake. I want you to save yourself for offense.
Don't worry, Z. I can handle him.
Don't you mean fondle him?
Yeah, high five over here.
I love how she smacked him in the face. That's pretty good. With her fake arm, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks like fondle anyway. Don't you mean bang him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even better.
Be an athlete here.
Even better. I have something called, oh, okay. This is anarchy again.
Mystery clip.
This is her saying stuff that bugs me. Specifically something about stabilizers. You'll hear it. You'll know it when you hear it. And you'll, like me, you want to scream at your microphone in a minute. Here it is.
Hey, you were supposed to tweak my port stabilizer. Nice job. I had no speed.
What?
I had no speed, and it's your damn fault.
Your port stays purring.
Then explain to me what the hell just happened out there.
Checked a mirror lately.
Oh, nice job, Jet. You should talk.
Your port stabs are purring.
You're such an aggressive hooker.
Oh. Your port stabs are purring, Brian.
Oh, I love it.
That's stupid.
Now, Scott, what do you think about that lady?
That's the same lady.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
sorry. Anarchy. No,
I was comparing.
Airplane, toilet.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, you know.
The nose ring. The nose ring gets you, right?
The nose ring and saying things like port stabs or purrin or freaking Nueve. Just kick her out of your film. I don't like her at all.
Well, he tried to. But then he had to take her back.
Yeah, because she got to be a very aggressive hooker, and that was not good.
No, because he had to play for everybody's freedom, and he needs every ally he can get.
Here's the player what was from Australia, apparently. Bad accent, I think, and had a big metal plate and basically security guardrails over his eye.
Yeah.
They weren't even wasn't even a patch, really.
No, not a patch, and I guess, you know, not to keep the shade out. It's to keep, I guess, golf balls.
Keep his eyeball from escaping.
Right. Well, his eye is very sensitive. So, yeah, you have to make sure that any bugs when he rides his motorcycle, you know, are protected against. But he still wants to be able to see. So, you know, putting bars over your eyes won't impinge your sight.
His eye is a smaller goal for a much different game that they play.
That's gross.
Eye goal. This is him talking, yelling about him winning and being a jerk generally. Here he is.
I don't care what anybody says. We earned this win, and here's the proof.
Show us the trophy.
Oi. I'd like to dedicate this victory to the people of the Pan-Pacific Commonwealth and everyone at home in Australia.
Any comments on the growing tensions between the COM and the North American Alliance?
No worries. The way I see it, you Yanks, stop sticking your beaks where they don't belong and everything will be peachy. Otherwise, the COM's gonna frickin' do to you what I did to Mayhem.
Yeah. Okay,
He's got the back, baby.
His accent may actually be worse than Wesley Snipes.
It really is. It's obviously not an Australian. And yes. and even if it was, are you even allowed back in your home country after that? That yes. terrible
Canada.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you allowed back in Vancouver?
This is the only, just looking through his resume, this is the only role where he actually acted. It looks like everything else is stunt work.
No,
good move.
Good for.
I like to refer to the city.
Don't
that this,
quit your day job.
I like to refer to the city this whole movie takes place in as New Orleans, British Columbia.
Mm. Nice. Oh, I take that back. No, he has been in a bunch of.
He acted
in 51 movies.
Wow. Are you sure they weren't all just mutey, kind of don't say nothing
guys? Well, he was a bartender on Psych. He was a fighter in Journey to the Center of the Earth.
So how do you think he went in the bartender? He's like, come down and drink our beer.
Oh, he was a bartender in Stargate Atlantis, too. I think I'm seeing typecasting.
A little bit. He's a bartender and everything but this.
Australia.
That's right.
All right. Here's the party with the party girls in the naked hot tub scene. I think this is what this is. Check it out.
Sorry, next.
I guess you're home licking your wounds right now, huh? But me and Anita and Chantel here, we're planning to party!
On second thought, Edgar, just give me a summary of the rest of the calls, please.
Yeah, Dean Cain, only the one acting.
I don't understand. It was like unnecessarily naughty to say licking your wombs. I mean, that's.
Is that what they said?
That's what it sounded like.
That's what Randy heard. Lick it. I mean,
can't argue with that.
I loved his Kinect type email system thing he had going there. That's kind of
predictive, right? Some of that stuff, I thought.
That was pretty smart. Yeah. I mean, for 98, I mean, we didn't really see.
Where did we start seeing some of that? Bad. I can't think of when
email interface was actually pretty decent.
Yeah. And the way he interacted with the house reminded me of Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I love that Edgar guy. The Edgar voice was great. In fact,
I dug it.
That whole movie could have happened in that house, and I would have been happier. Because Dean Cain, I liked him. Predicts. By the way, you know there's a big trend on the internet now where people go to find old movies or songs or something where they say, this is proof of time travel. Somebody went back in time and they had an iPad in this duck and cover movie from the 50s. And you can see the kid holding it in class, and there's an Apple logo and all that. So this has been like this big trope lately, or not trope, but meme.
Yeah.
And I think I found one in this movie.
Did you really?
They predicted the euro, not the euro, like the food.
Yeah.
The money.
The money.
The currency. Yeah. And I captured one of the lines where they said that. Hang on.
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. Our sponsors were very generous. Kiahi, 10 million euros to cover our LA operations. And that, my love, is all untraceable.
So,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
What?
In a weird way. I don't know. There was no.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool back in 98. I mean, the American dollar was still strong.
Did euros exist in 98?
Yeah. They were created at the end of 95.
Oh, well, shit.
Well, that blew that one.
Well,
damn
no,
it,
I have but, no, I have no recollection. I thought that was a 2000s thing, when the euros, when that was all approved.
I still think it was very forward thinking that it would be a international.
They were created at the end of 95, and they were given 3 years to everybody to get their crap together, and they started spending them on the 1st of January 99.
Poop.
Yep. Which is like right after this movie started. So to predict that it would be not only successful and to put it in your movie,
yeah,
that was pretty ballsy.
I don't know.
I'll definitely give you it was ballsy, but it wasn't predictive.
I think what we learned here is that I don't know my history of currencies very well.
All right.
I was with you. I thought 2000s thing as well. I'm looking. It's like, oh, yeah. Well,
that's just my recollection. I don't know. That's really weird to me. But there you go. 98, 99. Right around this time, I suppose. I'm sure they jumped on it and went, ooh, fancy new money. We got to use it in our movie.
Yep.
Right. Which is ballsy, because if it doesn't work out and it ends up being called the Europe-y or something, then you just sound stupid.
The Europe-y.
Awesome Europe-ies.
Europe-y. Europe-y's a great word for something.
Yeah,
it's better than the. I mean, the Vietnam folks have the dong. What's wrong with Yerpy?
Do we really have to call our money dong? Come on,
can we call it Yerpies? Anyway, isn't that what like Link gathers in the Zelda games?
I remember went to college with a guy who had Yerpies on his dong.
Nice. Before he got a dong full of Yerpies. Before people
you
could
put Zelda together with that, Brian, and just say, hey, it's a secret to everybody.
Yeah. Before people email me and say rupees in Zelda, I know. I was kidding. I know it's rupees.
Yeah, being funny.
Indian people are still pissed. All right. Because that's their actual money, isn't it? Don't Indian Jews
Yeah,
I'm gonna get in trouble again.
They use
it's rupees.
They use doo-doos.
No, it's rupees, isn't it? And I'm not talking American Indians. I'm gonna get more in trouble.
I didn't understand. Yes, they're called rupees. Yeah, the whole time I was thinking about
Native Americans. Right. Dang it!
So did you not wampum?
Did you not catch "I am just doo-doo" by Obite Fix? Wesley Snipes.
I caught all kinds of stupid things he said, but I didn't capture them all. I did capture, here's one. Let's see. Oh, no. First, you got to hear this lady.
We agreed to play Ramsey's idiotic game, and now we can win our independence without even firing a shot. And there isn't a damn thing any of those loyalist Howleys in Honolulu can do about it.
But what if things don't go our way? What if the comm loses?
Yeah. That would be unfortunate.
That's why you're second in command.
Yeah. She was also gross.
That whole scene, I'm stuck on the phrase loyalist Howleys. Like, wait, what? Who are they loyal to, though? I don't get it.
What's a Howley?
White person.
Oh, that's what they
see. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that. Is that as a Hawaii thing?
What do you do?
I'm sorry, not Hawaii. Hawaii thing.
Oh,
isn't
Hawaii.
That
Hawaii?
We have to change all the H's on everything.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you said Honolulu did that. Or, I'm sorry, Honolulu.
I did not. I said they got their vowel sounds wrong.
Oh.
The whole movie, everybody says Honolulu, like it's A's instead of O's.
Oh.
So you still drop the H, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you did drop the H. Say it again.
All H's in Hawaiian are stressed H's, like Haleiwa or Honolulu or Hawaii. It's always a stressed H.
Oh. I thought you were saying, people go to L or whatever.
Damn you, Skype!
All right, moving on to Ding Dong Diddly. This is the full clip.
Mr. Fix is a philanthropist.
Yeah, 5 million euros can go a long way in a down zone. And as long as they don't have to die in a war, my people don't give a ding dong diddly about what flag fly over Hawaii.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah, ding dong,
ding dong, diddly, ding dong, diddly, ding dong, diddly.
Yes, which is exactly how many Jamaican accents Wesley Snipes listened to before he came up with his own.
Yeah,
ding dong, diddly.
Yep. How many did you read again?
Ding dong, diddly.
That's what we thought. That's exactly right. Finally, a reference that I hate in movies when it's like it's the future, and for a second, we're going to make you think it's the current president, but really, we're talking about one of their kids.
This is a very common trope.
I hate it.
You need
it.
The trope alert sound.
All right, trope alert. Here it is.
Yo, Z! President Clinton's on the line.
Tell Chelsea I'll call right back.
Okay.
Okay. I love how they ended it, too.
Okay.
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 Okay. I suck. Okay.
I did my part.
I'm lame.
Can I have my SAG card now?
Oh, man. All right. Well, sorry. That's your clips. And I have to admit, there's some fun stuff to cap in this movie. Regardless of how we feel about it, it was a lot of fun to sort of get the stupidest stuff. And I laughed the whole time I watched it, pretty much. Let's do some Film Sack Awards. And for that, we need this. Film Sack Awards this week. Dude, what was in Lost? Chinese dude playing for the bad guys.
Really?
Couldn't find his name, but yeah, if you go back and watch the chick with the one eye, she sits down and starts talking with him, right? And he starts going, yeah, I don't know about the something, something, blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of like not really with it either. Like she's having all these second thoughts, and so is he. That guy's in Lost.
Oh, really? Not
the dad and not the young guy, but the other dude. It's hard, and I'm not talking about Jin. I can't remember the character, and I was trying to find it, but you'll see it and go, oh, yeah, that guy's in Lost, and then you'll forget exactly what he did.
Not Daniel Day-Kim. He was like 15 when
right.
the story was
made. Right. Chewbacca Sidekick Award probably goes to Anarchy, as much as I hate to give it.
Oh.
The Obi-Wan Award, Snipes character, and then the coach, and then Snipes again. Because it kept jumping around, right? The Crap Special Effect Award goes to all the city shots.
Oh.
And by city shots, I mean shitty shots. Because
they were
bad.
Horrible. They were really horrible.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Star Trek Award goes to Robert Hewitt Wolf, who co-wrote this film and wrote a few Next Generation episodes. So there's a solid connection for once. The person most likely to evade taxes in the future award goes to Wesley Snipes. The A-Team Montage Award, easily the last training session sequence after they decided to be a team and he was going to be coach. The funny thing about that, Randy, you talked about this offline a little bit with me. They just kind of stood around chuckling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't training.
No.
Right.
No. So they were all the best.
They're standing around smiling, mugging for the camera.
Didn't have a lot of budget to actually shoot any action footage, so it's just going to be, you know, all right, so I'm going to tell you how to play this game. I'm not going to demonstrate anything, but I'm going to wave my hands and smile.
Right, yeah, and you have the reporter there when you're training.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, she helps.
Yeah.
But what blew me away is that they had a chance to get into one of my favorite little tropes, which is during training where they keep practicing driving to score and he keeps failing to pass the ball, right?
Mm.
And it kind of makes them look a little mad and they look at each other. That would have been really cool now that I've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they save his change of heart as an athlete for the very end of the game.
Yeah. Well, they did have that part where they were running upstairs and kind of getting to know each other better and slapping each other on the butt by the time they were done.
They were only running upstairs because they had been mad at one another in training, right? And that was their punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is another trope.
Yeah.
This movie is a trope.
It is.
All right. Moving on to my favorite award. The punch Dr. Jones in the arm because the German dude knows he's got a bullet there. The bad guy at the end with the back, with hitting what's the name of the back.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that. Remember that scene in Indiana Jones or in Raiders?
Yeah, yeah.
Kept punching him in the arm. I remember as a kid thinking, oh my gosh, that is the worst thing you could do to anyone.
Yeah.
What do you
Because I have
do?
A bullet in my arm and it hurts like hell.
That's no fair, Dr. Like, Jones. What?
Nothing.
Oh, sorry. I went into short round mode.
I heard Brian Dunaway say, "I've got a bullet in my wang, and it hurts like hell."
Really?
Skype.
I said arm, but
Skype.
Whatever. Arm, wang.
Wait, you have you don't have a bullet in anything? I hope.
No, I don't.
Oh, good. Sheesh.
Damn you, Skype.
Single grossest thing in the movie award goes to Mayhew getting his leg busted. I almost named it after that. Who was that dude in the 80s that broke his leg? It was famous football player thing. But
yes, Theismann.
Theismann. I can't think of his name.
How do you forget that?
Yeah, well, because I kept looking up on Google, leg break, 80s leg break. I couldn't find it. Nothing ever came up. It was always like gross pictures on Google Images.
Might as well have called him Leg Man. His name is Theismann. I mean, come on.
Leg Man.
Watch the first 3 minutes of that last Sandra Bullock movie.
Blindside. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I should watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack grade.
Wow, what is that? What does that equivocate to? In
that's
numbers?
Being generous.
That was freaking terrible. Didn't you think it was bad? I mean, it was just bad. Just bad, bad.
It was pretty bad. I'll admit. I will give you that one.
All right, so there you go. That's our awards for the week. We hope that you enjoyed them. I've tried to time it with the music. It didn't work. You got the whole world. All right.
Good old Johnny Mercer.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to a Twitter post from Randy, Brian, and Brian. And let's start this week with Brian Dunaway.
Future Sport. Do not ever want to see Wesley Snipes play a Jamaican again, man. Future Sport is worth watching.
No. is not worth watching.
You added that last part after this, after hearing our descending opinions.
Yeah, on nice job. Let's go now to Randy. What do you have for your characters here?
Future Sport, an impossible to understand political strife, is rectified by playing an impossible to like sport. Dean Kane spells P-I-P-U.
Oh,
ooh.
I see what you did there. I like that. And finally, Brian Hibbett.
Like, it was like a one of those old style movie things you'd see between Dean Cain spells.
Yeah, I like that. Hibbett, what do you have?
Future Sport, my favorite fictional sport, right after Quidditch, pod racing, rollerball pyramid, and running man.
Nice. You've named them all.
Nice. What's pod race? You got pod racing in there.
Pod racing, yes.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I can't
pyramid.
I can't think of any more. Maybe that's not a sport though. I was thinking like multi-layer chess or whatever in Star Trek. That's
yeah.
Not,
yeah. There was a name for that, right?
multi-layer 3D chess. I don't know.
3D chess, maybe. Maybe it was. I don't know. I think it was called Kirk's a Dick, I'm Leaving, is what
it
was.
What was the name of that game that Ashley Judd plays with Will Hooten?
Oh, Cones and Circles. Or what was it? I don't think it had a name.
See, that was called The Game, actually.
It was called The Game. Well, I like that one better than this, too.
All right.
Okay. I just Googled some of that. I just Googled sci-fi sports, and I got rollerball, Quidditch, mm-hmm. vampire baseball, which is lame, pod racing, mech battles, death ball, which was future sport. I'm not, it's Futurama. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Death ball.
Yeah. Death ball is good.
Pyramid, which you said. Oh, raking. I forgot about that.
Raking.
Max headroom.
Raking?
Yeah. Max headroom.
Raking.
I see the picture. That's the only reason why I remember it.
Oh,
Tron is a fictional sport.
Oh yeah, discs of Tron, like light cycles. Yes. Yeah, light cycles is good. Oh, you could. There's probably more, but I think you nailed the best ones. I think pod racing. You should get an award for putting that in there. That's a good idea. Okay, well, while you guys were throwing tiny balls into tiny holes, here's what I learned about this movie: cameramen in the future are cyborgs.
Yes.
Boobs. No one will ever notice a huge black metal spider with a blinding red light coming out of its head.
With a laser light coming out of its head?
Yeah. No one notices. Pointer. Dean Cain is a pretty good actor.
He is.
Future Frisbees are badass.
Mm. Oh, right.
That one that blew up the car? That was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love how they followed it.
How do you throw it without it exploding? I don't get that.
I don't get that either. But the way she threw it and then the camera followed it behind, that was very reminiscent of something we've seen. I couldn't think if it was Kroll. Was it?
No. What was it? The Tom Selleck one.
The Runaway one then.
Runaway.
Runaway?
Yeah.
Runaway.
Where the, maybe it has where the camera follows.
Yeah. Oh, the floater. Yeah, the whole floater thing. Right?
Yes. And that had to be stop motion. I mean, at least some kind of motion. I'm sure they put it like on a spinning plate of some sort and kind of followed it around with the camera.
Yeah. The mere mention of Runaway makes me hate Runaway more. In the future, hospitals wrap you in plastic wrap and put you on a half a tanning bed.
Which looked cool, right? that looked really sci-fi.
No, it looked like his entire body was broken, but it was going to get mended in a few minutes.
It was janky. I hated that.
I was waiting for Dexter to come out and cut his cheek and put it on the slide.
Totally. Just like that episode with Denise Crosby in it.
Oh, yeah, right.
She did that.
It all comes back to Denise Crosby.
Always. Comes back to black goo. In the future, we'll all have weird-ass handshakes.
Remember that? I actually thought it was pretty cool. the one that Dean Cain and Wesley Snipes
shared it at all.
In the beginning.
I didn't like it at all. I thought it was terrible.
I've been trying to do it all day with my friends. They just won't.
They won't do it.
They won't hook up.
They won't comply. And then finally.
Why'd you hit me in the gut, man? That's not funny.
And finally. I knew Blade was up to something. And that is what I learned while you were throwing tiny balls into tiny holes. Speaking of tiny balls, we got an email from a listener. That's a terrible way to transition that. I don't mean this at all. Liam wrote us and said, "Hey, Scott and gang, I just finished listening to the Star Trek 5 episode of Film Sack. Very fun to listen to while I work. I've laughed out loud on several occasions. Thank God I work from home." I agree. "You guys had wanted to see Klingons in the future Star Trek movie. And you have probably received thousands of these, but in the Blu-ray version of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek DVD, there is apparently a cutscene in the beginning that has Klingons.
I forgot about that.
He bypasses the whole Ridge or Fu Manchu Klingon fan bile by giving them metallic helmets that cover their faces but eludes their foreheads and doesn't show the ridges. He says, I found a YouTube clip of the cutscene. It's pretty badass with multi-face guy. Wish it had made it into the final cut of the film. Love the show, Liam. So I'll put this link in the show notes for this episode. People can check it out if you don't already have the Blu-ray version of Star Trek.
Yeah, but there were so many lens flares in that movie. Man, if they really had like that shiny, holy Moses.
You know, they really did. You think they're going to do that again? I feel like they can't do that again.
Nah, they won't do that again.
They got so much crap for that. Yeah,
they probably won't do that again.
I think maybe they'll do some.
Yeah, I think it'll have to, because it'll be kind of like one of those last stand things, like with George Lucas. It's like, damn it, I like Jar Jar Binks. I don't care what you people say. I'm putting
it
in.
It's like a new thing every J.J. Abrams movie, which is cool. Like in Cloverfield, right?
Exactly.
Right. And then in this movie, every 10 minutes, he had a lens flare.
Right. Yeah. Right. And he didn't. What's the last one he directed before this, though? He did Mission Impossible 3. What was it in there? There was something.
And he vowed never to use that trick again.
He's never going to use the
Tom Cruise's
trick.
Nose showed up.
There's something in there. Oh, that's my homework between this and next show.
Wasn't all the pulling off the masks, like all the fake rubber masks that people wore?
No, that was the first one.
Maybe. Man. Yeah. They did some of that in that one too, but I can't remember. There was something in there that was very reminiscent of like that thing where he gets all excited about one technique and uses it the whole film.
Yeah. He does do that. He gets excited about it, which is good because it ties his movies together when he does it in one movie.
That was the best one of those movies, by the way. I love that movie. That
which, great. the one with Tom Cruise's huge schnoz?
Yeah.
I like the first one better. I'm sorry.
Really?
I agree with you on that. Yeah, first one was better.
I don't know about you.
I agree.
I don't know about you. All right, that's going to do it this episode. By the way, next week, big movie coming up. Time Cop. Time Cop!
Nice.
It's got that girl from Ferris Bueller's Day Off in it.
It's Mia Sara.
She's so
Time
hot.
Cop.
She's so good looking.
Oh, you like her now?
Oh, I love her.
Okay, we need to make a list.
You got to start keeping a list.
There's got to be like a computer program we can plug all these women into. He hates cheekbones or something like that. It's going to be like some commonality.
Maybe. I don't know, man. There's something about her I've always liked. So she was the reason I thought Ferris Bueller was awesome back in the day. Yeah. So you'll want to watch that. That's, again, Time Cop on Netflix streaming now, episode 61 coming up next week right here on FilmSack. Don't forget to go to the website, FilmSack.com. It's got all our archives there, links to the show notes and to our forums. You can also email us, FilmSack@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/FilmSack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week.
That label maker is not a keyboard, you dork.
And it also reminded me of, what's that, the thing Brian Dunaway
Minority Report?
Minority Report.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.